If you would like to open your Bibles and read along tonight, we're going to be reading a passage from Philippians chapter 2. We're going to focus upon one verse in particular, but we're going to start at verse 5. Philippians 2, verse 5. Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of the servant and was found in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." One of the interesting things about that verse is that no matter what version you read, the wording is almost exactly the same. And there is a good reason for that. Work out your own salvation. But that doesn't that contradict Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9? That we are saved by grace and not of ourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. And yet we're told here to work out our own salvation. Well, in the first place, we need to remember that the Bible speaks of four different kinds of works. The works of the law of Moses, the works of the flesh, list is given in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Works of merit, which is under discussion in Ephesians 2. And then works of obedience. But what are the works that he's talking about here? Paul is the author of Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, who said that we are not saved by works of merit in that context, who also writes here that we are to work out our own salvation. So is there a contradiction? Did Paul contradict himself? Or is he talking about something a little bit different? The word here translated work out, as I mentioned, translated that way in almost every version, means literally to achieve, to finish, to perform, or to complete. To perform or to complete. And that is really the way in which we should look at this. And if you would like, look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10 and find a parallel passage that sheds even more light on this. Peter said, "Wherefore, the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall." He had just said, give diligence to add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity or love. For if these things, there's that two-letter word of condition, for if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And then again in verse 10 he says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now there is a doctrine in the world that if we have been called, and some would refer to a calling as something other than the calling of the gospel, even though in 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 14, Paul told the Thessalonians that God had called them through the gospel. And some would say, well, if God has chosen you for salvation, then there's no way that you possibly could be lost. And yet the Bible does not teach that. Not at all. Our passage that we're studying tonight lets us know that that is not the case. He said here, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Complete, finish the work. But he said to do it with fear and trembling. Let's look a little bit deeper at that tonight. Why is there a responsibility that every one of us has to seek the salvation that is offered in Jesus Christ? Well, number one, because God commanded it. This command is found frequently in the scriptures. It's said in different ways. Jesus said, Matthew 7, 13 and 14, about the straight and the narrow gate and the wide gate and the broad way. He said there that few there will be that will find that straight gate and that narrow way. But he said that's something that we should look for. We find in Colossians 3, verses 5 and 6, if we turn it over just a few more pages in our Bibles, verse 5 beginning, "Mortify, put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience." Who's he writing to? He's writing to Christians. What did he say? Get rid of those things, because it will bring the wrath of God upon you. Why should we desire to work out our own salvation? Because of our own self-interest. Jesus died for the salvation of everyone who was lived since his, well, from everyone from the beginning of the world, but for those in particular in New Testament times from the cross forward, Jesus died for our salvation. But he died for your salvation and mine. But he died for your salvation personally. And here's the thing. There is nobody in the world that will have a greater interest in your salvation than you. So he says here, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What type of fear and trembling is he talking about? The type of fear and trembling that comes from the realization of what we will have if we don't have heaven, of how terrible that place that is called hell will be, and the fact that God doesn't want us to be there, and God has told us how to avoid being there. But it is an awesome respect for the Word of God and the provision of God that will guide us, that will lead us to seek His will, and for every one of us to understand the unique and the personal responsibility of finding the truth, of acting upon it, and then remaining faithful to it. As Paul is saying here, our earthly friends, another reason that we should seek it is because our earthly friends cannot save us. Our earthly friends and our family, they can pray for us, they can weep with us, they can encourage us, they can do everything in the world they want to bring us to obedience to the gospel of Christ and to help us to remain faithful. But they cannot save us. There is a personal choice. And Paul, in writing to this to the Philippian Christians, is telling them, work out your own salvation. Because no one has a greater interest, and because our earthly friends cannot save us. And there is a work that has to be done in our hearts that cannot be done by anyone else. They can't do it. We are the ones that must believe. We are the ones who must be convinced that we must repent of sin and be obedient to the gospel of Christ. And so when we look at it from that perspective, we begin to understand the personal responsibility that every single one of us has. We also might observe that there is no reason to expect divine forgiveness without some effort on our part. I'll give you a moment to think about that. What does that mean? Are we saying that we earn our salvation? No. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 rules that out completely. Has nothing to do with it. But God has a part in our salvation. God, because of His grace, offered us salvation through Jesus Christ. But man must respond. And that's our part, to be obedient through faith. In every case in which we read in the New Testament and Old Testament about someone being saved by grace through faith, we will notice that there was something that they had to do. There was some human effort, not to earn their salvation, but to receive their salvation. Noah wasn't saved until he had built the ark. Naaman wasn't cleansed from his leprosy until he dipped in the Jordan River 7 times as he had been directed. The thief on the cross was not guaranteed paradise until he asked Jesus to remember him when he came into his kingdom. Saul of Tarsus was not forgiven of his sins until he was baptized at the direction of Ananias, Acts 22 and verse 16. The Christians at Rome were not declared to be free from sin until they had obeyed the pattern of doctrine that had been delivered them. Verses 17 and 18 of Romans chapter 6, God be thanked that you were, past tense, the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. Let me ask you a question. Did they have a role to play in their salvation? Of course they did. Paul said they did. He said, you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Did they earn anything? No. There was nothing that they could do to cause God to be indebted to them. But it was necessary that they obeyed God so that he could give the blessing that he had prepared for them. And so Paul said, rejoicing, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which has been delivered unto you, being then made free from sin. Not at the point that they heard the gospel or that they believed that Jesus was the Son of God, but when they obeyed from the heart the pattern of doctrine that they had received. And it's the same chapter as verses 3 and 4 of chapter 6 that tells us what the pattern of doctrine was. They had been buried with Christ in baptism, putting to death the old man of sin, rising to walk in newness of life. Has God suddenly, in the 20th century, become a respecter of persons? Has God in the 21st century come to the point where he said, well, you know, you don't really have any role to play. You don't have to repent. It's the funniest thing that those who say there is no role for mankind, that all that he must do is believe, also demand that he repent and also demand that a man must confess. Well, does he have to do something or not? Friend, if you have to confess your faith in Christ, you just did something. Did you earn your salvation? No. You are doing what the Lord told you to do. So does a man have a role, a part to play in his own salvation? Well, the Bible says very plainly that he does. And we've listed several examples. Peter opened his mouth, Acts 10 and verse 34, and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation. Now notice this. He that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. He that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. That is exactly the same thought that was in Hebrews 11 and verse 6 that we studied this morning. What are some things that this command that Paul has here to work out our own salvation, what are some things that it does and does not imply? In the first place, it does not imply that we should seek to deserve salvation. That we should try to work works so that we can tell the Lord, well, Lord, I'm so much better than my family. I'm so much better than my neighbors and my friends. You need to save me. I've been out there standing up for you, proclaiming my faith for you, telling everybody how much I love you. Lord, I'm one of your best servants. You're lucky to have me. You need to save me. It's not the way it works. Hebrews 2, 8 and 9 would take that out of the question. So that is not something that is implied. Paul argued in Romans 3 and verse 20 this way. He said, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. There's another idea regarding this verse that is probably a lot more common. If you've heard one, this is the one probably that you've heard. Well, that just means that I'll just find my own way. I'll work up my own way to salvation. You get to heaven your way, and I'll get to heaven mine. Well, there are different roads to heaven. There are different roads to salvation. We'll all take the one that we choose, the one that we think is best. That's not at all what Paul is saying here. Paul is praising their obedience, not their religious creativity. He teaches them in this passage to be more diligent in learning the truth and in obeying the truth in his absence as well as in his presence. The interesting thing is that in every chapter of this book, Paul Paul hammers on this nail. Listen to Philippians 1 and verse 27. He said, "Only let your manner of life be as it becomes the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your faith, of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Now listen, he said, you stand fast in the spirit and you strive together for the faith of the gospel. Well, how many? Oh, but we'll just find our own way to heaven, right? Strive together for the faith of the gospel. How many faiths are there recognized by God? Does not the Bible say there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism? Paul says here, strive together for that one faith that's mentioned in Ephesians 4 and verse 5. Well, how many gospels are there? In Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9, Paul condemned those that would teach any other gospel than the one that he had been teaching. And I'm going back to Philippians right now, and I've gone to Colossians, and we can go to Ephesians. We can go through all of the epistles written by the Apostle Paul, and we can read the gospel that he's preaching. And the gospel that he is preaching says that we must respond appropriately to the offer of salvation that God has given, and that we must remain faithful if we hope to have salvation. Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9 again. Being made perfect, he became, verse 9, the author of eternal salvation to all them that do what? All them that obey him. What about those who don't obey him? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul is writing there to those who are being persecuted, terribly so. And he said that for those who are troubled, there is a rest that's coming. There will be rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So does man have a role to play in his salvation? Yes, it's called obedience. We cannot earn anything. Paul is not saying here in our text this evening that there is anything to be earned. He is saying that we need to be faithful. We need to be faithful to the end. Is that not Revelation 2 and verse 10? Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give unto thee the crown of life. Is that not exactly what he's saying here, is to work out to complete your salvation? It's exactly the same thing. What about when Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8, I mentioned this morning, I won't go back over it, but Paul is saying, because I have been faithful and finished my course, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, because he had been obedient. We all have that responsibility to be faithful to the Lord. And that was chapter 1. In chapter 2, he said, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain. Holding forth the word of life. What are they doing? They're working out their salvation. Chapter 3 and verse 16. Nevertheless, whereto we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. How are we going to do that? There's only one way. And that is to rightly divide the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. We have to study. We have to know what the will of the Lord is. And be obedient to him. Well, what if I didn't mention chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 9 says this. These things are the things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Well, what happens if they don't do them? The God of peace would not be with them. So what were they to? How were they to work out their own salvation? Through the things they had learned, through the things they had received, through the things that they had heard, through the things that they had seen in the Apostle Paul. The only way we know how to access the salvation that God offers is through his word. And through the gospel, he teaches us. In fact, going back to our text, he says, for it is God which worketh in you, verse 13, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. How does God work in us to will and do his good pleasure? He does it through his word. Paul said so. The things which you see, things which you've heard. But you know, on this idea about all of us being free to devise our own method of salvation, if that's true, then Jesus made a terrible mistake. Because he told the scribes and the Pharisees, But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. That wouldn't be true if we're free to devise our own way to heaven, because it wouldn't have mattered what they taught. As long as they were convinced in their own minds that they were going to heaven, it wouldn't matter what they taught. But Jesus said it did matter, and he condemned them for it. Jesus would have continued, if every person is free to devise his own plan of salvation, Jesus continued to make mistakes. Because he said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Do we have a role to play in our salvation? Jesus said we did. Paul said we did. Peter said we did. And if we're free to devise our own plan of salvation, then the Apostle Paul was wrong when he said, study to show thyself approved of God. Well, we're going to be approved of God. We just devise our own way and he'll be happy with it. No, that's not the way it works. We've got to know the will of the Lord and live the will of the Lord to be pleasing to him. What does the command imply? It commands that there must be an honest effort on the part of every individual, insert your name there, on the part of every individual to know the will of God and to be faithful to it and to access the salvation that is in Christ in the way that our Lord said it was to be received. And then to live the kind of life that the Lord told us to live. In doing that, we complete, we finish, we work out our salvation. That's where the confusion maybe comes in, is this terminology of work out. We think of it in terms of doing something that is by our own power, something that reflects our own ingenuity. But that's not what the term here means. It means to finish the process of becoming a Christian. But this being written to Christians means complete your life faithfully as a Christian. Complete your life faithfully as a Christian. And again, I come back to this term where he said, or this last part of the sentence where he says, with fear and trembling. Why do we do that? Because we have an important interest at stake, and the interest is our soul. We need to be serious about our souls. Why? Because there's a danger of going to hell. There is a danger of being lost, and we need to be serious about what we're going to do about our soul. And if it's not ready to meet the Lord in the judgment, we need to do something about it with fear and trembling. Do your part in receiving the salvation that God has offered in the way that he has prescribed. Some say that it doesn't matter because once you're saved, you can never be lost. You can never fall from grace. Friends, Galatians 5 and verse 4 uses the exact terminology in the reverse. It says, whosoever therefore of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. And he wasn't writing to non-Christians. He was writing to Christians who had been saved by the grace of God. But he said, if you go back to depending on the law of Moses, you are fallen from grace. We're told you can't fall from grace. An inspired apostle didn't know that. He said, yes, you can. 2 Peter 2, verse 20, Peter said, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of this world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and become entangled therein again and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Peter said it is worse, it will be worse for a person who obeyed the gospel of Christ and who became a Christian and went back into the world. He said it would be worse for them. Talk about degrees of punishment in hell. He said it would be worse for them than a person who had never obeyed the gospel. Why? Because they have despised the Lord who saved them. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, Paul said, 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4, beginning. The writer says, I believe it's the Apostle Paul, but the writer there says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. Now, what does that mean? If you've been enlightened on a subject, that means you've come to a knowledge of it. You have come to an understanding, right? Okay? You've been enlightened. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift. What is the heavenly gift? According to Acts 2 and verse 38, some other passages, the heavenly gift involves salvation. It may not be limited to that, but it involves salvation, and we're made partakers of the Holy Ghost. He's talking about people in the first century who had hands laid upon them, who received miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. He said, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Once again, those miraculous gifts. He said, it is impossible. Verse 4, then down to verse 6. If they shall fall away to renew themselves and to repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. The writer is saying that for the first century Christian who has experienced, who has been involved in this these miraculous gifts, who know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they had been saved through Christ, and the way of Christ was the only way for them to go back, to turn against the Holy Spirit and against Christ. For them to go back, he said, it is impossible to renew them. Why? Because when your heart is that cold, you're not coming back. A person who knew, who had that level of enlightenment and understanding, who would leave the church, that person would never come back. But I thought you could never fall from grace. The Hebrew writer didn't believe that. And he didn't teach that because it isn't true. Paul was an inspired apostle and ambassador of Christ, which means one sent forth with authority. And he said, 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I should be a castaway. Paul said, I am an apostle of Jesus Christ, and I could be lost, thrown away to the refuse pile. Paul said, I can be lost, but I do something about it every day. I keep the temptations that I experience in my body under control because I'm working out my salvation with fear and trembling. Earning my salvation? No. He is the first one that would tell us we cannot earn it. But he is completing, he is finishing it, bringing it to fruition by being faithful. Because even Paul could have been lost. So many people make shipwreck of all the hope that they have and perish. And there's danger that we could also. There's so many different temptations and allurements in the world and so many things that lead us to defer attention to religion that there is a danger that any of us could be lost. There is a danger, he says, with fear and trembling, because it's a serious thing. Not one of us can designate a single day to sinfulness and say, I know the Lord is not going to come on this day, and so I can do what I will, and it won't matter because I can be reconciled the day after that. We can't do that for a day, for an hour, for even a minute, because we do not know how long we have on this earth. And if you can take hell seriously, and you can think about what hell would be like, and that God is coming to judge the world by the man whom he hath ordained, whereby he has given assurance unto all men that he has raised him from the dead, Acts 17 and verse 31. And Paul said, and we preach the terror of the Lord, not just to keep people scared, but to let people know that it's serious and that their soul could be lost. So what we do, we work out, we complete, we finish. If we've ever been obedient to the gospel, we remain faithful, realizing what's at stake. We do it with fear and trembling. Every soul bears the unique personal responsibility of finding God's truth and acting upon it and remaining faithful to it. And Paul said in all four chapters here that he was rejoicing for the Philippian Christians' faithfulness, and he encouraged them to remain the same. We need to achieve to finish, to complete our salvation. There are many people in the world today who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but they've let it stop there. They have not worked out their salvation. There are many people in the world today who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and they realize that the Christian way is the better way, and they have made the determination, I'm not going to live like the world. They have repented of their sins, but that's as far as they've gone. They've not worked out their salvation. There are people in the world today who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who repented of their sins, maybe have even confessed their faith, but they have never been immersed in water for the remission of sins. They have not worked out their salvation. Why? Because there's no fear and trembling. Because they're not thinking maybe about heaven, but they're definitely not thinking about hell. Paul said lovingly to people that meant the world to him, finish your course. I finished mine. Finish your course. Work out, complete your salvation. Be faithful unto death. Another way of saying it. Work out your salvation with fear and with trembling. If you've never been obedient to the gospel of Christ, we would encourage you to do that tonight. Not trying to scare anybody, but at the same time, maybe we need to be scared sometimes. Maybe we need to think about what it would be like to burn eternally in a devil's hell with the devil and with Hitler and with all of the rapists, with all the murderers, with all the evil people who have ever lived upon the earth, because that's who we'll be with. With fear and trembling. But God doesn't want us to be there. That's why Jesus came. And that's why he died for us. And we can turn our backs on Satan, and we can turn our faces to the Lord and work out our own salvation. No, not by our own design. We can complete what he has told us to do to be saved. And as children of God, remain faithful and come to the faithful conclusion of our lives with fear and trembling. No, not to be depressed and discouraged every single day, but to realize what's at stake and that our soul is worth more than any pleasure this world has to offer. If you've never obeyed the gospel, let us encourage you, beg and plead with you tonight to do just that. If you're here tonight and you haven't been faithful to the Lord as a child of God, maybe you are discouraged. There's enough in the world to cause it, isn't it? Let's make the determination that we will work out our own salvation. Our own salvation. You make that determination for you. I'm going to make it for me with fear and trembling. I'm thinking about heaven, but I know what's at stake if I miss heaven. So I'm going to continue to try to be faithful. You do the same because it's your choice. It's your responsibility. It's your blessing if you are faithful to the end. If we could help, would you come as we stand and as we sing?